And now, I honestly feel that for someone here in this room, I was reading through Song of Solomon, and I was reflecting on it when I was in worship, and I was amazed by just how it sort of goes backwards and forth from the young man to the young woman, saying, "Oh, I love you. You're like a gazelle. You're like, oh, the palm trees and the palm trees." And just this incredible fire, this first love. And I feel like prophetically, when we read that story, it's also talks about the heart of us towards our God, the lover of our soul. And I believe that there might be someone or a few people here in the room today where you feel like your relationship with God has gone to, it's not on fire like it is in Song of Solomon. It's more just like, I'm pretty sure if I like smash away some of the coals, maybe there's some sparks under there. But it's just a bit, it's not burning how it should be. And if that is you here today, I just want you to put your hand on your heart. And we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to breathe on that fire, that you would see Jesus in the way that he sees you. He loves you desperately. As Grant said earlier, he left the 99 for the one. He would leave everyone else for you every time, because that's the heart of our God. So if that is you, just place your hand on your heart. Lord, I just thank you so much that you want to minister to people's hearts here in this moment. That you don't desire us to live just a ho-hum Christian existence where we're aware of God and aware of your promises, aware of your presence, but not really pressing in deeper. Lord, we want to go deeper with you. I ask that you would rekindle the fire, that you would relight the fire, that you would awaken that first love, like that moment of our salvation, that moment where we first encountered you, God, where we didn't understand it all, but all of a sudden we were taken aback by your grace, by your mercy, and by your love. And we ask that out of that place of revelation, that it would build a fire, a desire to see you on our tongues, to see you outworked in our lives, because we love you, God. And we thank you that you loved us first. So have your way in each and every single one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. And it's not true. These pants were not made downstairs. I'd actually be mightily impressed if our kids' church could create jeans. No. So, but I got these from H&M when H&M first opened up. And I felt, since it's a beautiful sunny day outside, I thought, you know, why not make the most of it and wear white jeans for a change? Because here in Hobart, whenever it's wet and rainy, you can't really wear white jeans. Because every time you step in a puddle, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, all the back of my legs are now covered in little brown dots. And that's not good. So when the sun's out, white jeans out. That's what they say. Actually, I feel like there might also be one other ministry point before I get into the message. Is there anyone here sunburnt? There we go. Because yesterday it was beautiful, but I was just thinking, I reckon there's a few Tasmanians or a few people living in Tasmania that have, you know, it's been winter, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, the sun's out. Ah! And then about at the end of the day, you're like, ah, it's hot. Let's just reach out our hands in faith. I actually honestly want to see God heal sunburn. I've never seen that yet. Have you seen that up on the Gold Coast or Queensland? Yeah. Have you ever seen sunburnt healed? Well, that's why you came to Tasmania, man. Watch this. All right.
Don't touch it.
Says lay hands. Okay, all right. Well, Lord, we just thank you so much that you are the God that is able to heal. And even though this could be a self-inflicted injury, Lord, we thank you that you are able to do immeasurably more according to your power at work within us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, you would flood through her by the name of Jesus, the one who rose from death, who conquered sin, who has authority over every power, principality, environment, and sickness. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Sunburnt, be healed. Fully restored in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, no pain, no heat. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Tell us by the end of the service how you're going, and you can go back to Queensland and say, hey, look, let's start praying for sunburn. New Red Frogs ministry. For all those red frogs out there that are burnt on the beach, we're going to pray for you. Hey, I was doing my daily readings through the book of John recently, and at youth camp I shared this message, and I thought I'd share it again here today, because who knows, for some of those youth that were in the room that came to youth camp, when you go to school, if it's anything like when I went to school, sometimes you would cover the same topic for about forever. It'd be like, why are we still doing trigonometry? It's because we still hadn't got it. And I've never used trigonometry since, so I don't know. But I want to encourage you, sometimes when we go over the same ground, it's not sometimes we just actually need to get a deeper understanding of the content and the implementation of what we're studying. Otherwise, sometimes we can just, if we're always jumping to a new thing, the Holy Spirit wants to do a new thing, but sometimes we just actually got to renew our understanding of something that God's already told us, truth and promises. And at the same time, I honestly thought that this was a message that would be beneficial for the whole body of Christ here. And for any parents in the room, this might be a good one for you then to be able to bring back up with your kids and say, remember what Pastor Dan said? So, the title of this sermon today is called Dead Man's Clothes. Dead Man's Clothes. So if you're taking notes, jot that one down. And it's a good one because, like I said, I was reading through the Gospel of John, and there's this incredible story about Lazarus. And it's not Lazarus, my cat, for those who know that I have a cat named Lazarus. This is about a man named Lazarus. So before I jump into the word, how about we just pray and we ask that our hearts would be prepared to receive what God wants to say to us individually and collectively here today. Lord, we just thank you so much that you are here in this room. We thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. And right now, Lord, we speak to the soil of our hearts. We speak to the complexity of our soul, to the all the thoughts in our mind. And we ask in Jesus' mighty name that there would be an open door to hear what you want to say to us here today. That we would take in your word and allow it to transform us and change us into the people you're calling us to in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. So Lazarus, John chapter 11, verse 32. It says this, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. Where have you put him? They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed the blind, but couldn't he have saved Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he had arrived at the tomb. I just want to stop here just for 1 second. This isn't in my notes, but anger isn't always a bad emotion. It's how we outwork our anger. You know, we've read here in this passage alone just so far, Jesus was angry 3 times. But often in our worldliness, anger becomes a tool for hurting others. In this story, we see that anger was a tool for his faith to rise and see the miraculous. And I want to encourage you, if you start getting a righteous anger about something, allow that to fuel your faith to see the miraculous happen through your life. Okay? But some said, this man, he couldn't have kept Lazarus from dying. Jesus was still angry. He's arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside. Someone say, roll the stone aside. Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, He has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. That's probably not how she sounded. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I say this aloud for the sake of all the people standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Everybody say, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him, let him go. Wow. Like, seriously, he was dead for 4 days. And then they do something they never do in Jewish tradition, which is, hey, let's go check up on the dead body. You become ceremonially unclean in an instant doing stuff like that, and are not allowed to go into the temple for doing things like that. And Jesus is like, you know what? I'm not about the religious structure of the day. I'm about reinstating and seeing the purposes of why I'm here actually outworked in full. Move that stone away. And before I go into the content of this message, I want to encourage you, move that stone away. Whatever it is in your head, maybe it's just a little, someone said something that upset you during the week. Welcome to the club of life. Someone hasn't said sorry yet. I didn't know that that was our job to regulate the apologies of every person on earth. Jesus taught me to forgive. Not to wait for apologies, but roll that stone away. Before I get to the content of this, I want to make sure that we're not allowing stones to stop us from seeing the miraculous take place in our life. Roll that stone away. And what happens when they roll that stone away? Lazarus experiences the greatest miracle of his life. He was dead, and now he's alive. I once heard another preacher say, Jesus actually had to specify Lazarus come out, because if he just said come out, everyone would have came out. So he had to specify, I don't know if that's true or not, I thought it was a really cool little point. But he said, Lazarus, come out. And what do we see? We see someone who was dead step out from a tomb. But there was still a problem. He was wrapped up. Actually, Simon, come up here, man. It's always Simon. Yeah. He was wrapped up. You can wear it like a cloak. There you go. Anyway, you can just stand up here. This is Simon. Everyone give Simon a cheer. Yeah. Actually, and for the content of this sermon, your name, we're changing his name. You are no longer Simon of the Grub. You are Lazarus Bron James. Everyone give it up for Lazarus Bron James. You. So today I want to talk about dead man's clothes. Dead man's clothes. So Lazarus had just experienced the greatest miracle of his life, which was coming from being dead to coming alive. But the problem was he was still clothed in the attire of being dead. He had dead man's clothes on. And my question for us here today, if you have come alive in Christ, you have experienced the greatest miracle you can ever experience in your lifetime. From going from dead in your sins to alive in Christ, there is no miracle greater that we can experience than salvation. No miracle greater than salvation. So if that has happened to you, seriously, give God some praise for just like 5 seconds. Come on, Lord, we praise you, we thank you. Seriously, we should never get tired of being thankful for salvation. The moment that we become apathetic, it's like, oh, I'll just golf clap God for my salvation. Then seriously, there's something seriously wrong with our heart's view of God when the greatest gift that we could ever be given is just brought down to a, yeah, whatever. We have experienced the greatest gift. But likewise, like Lazarus, LeBron James, I'm just going to call you Lazarus from now on. Like Lazarus, he still had grave clothes on. And like us, we still have grave clothes on. There are things that we have wrapped around us that are not going to help us live out the life that God's called us to. He called him out of the tomb, but didn't call him to stay in his tomb clothes. Jesus has called you out of death to life, but he doesn't want you to keep the death garments on. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, it says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again." Praise God. Death no longer has mastery over him. Death, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves, each and every single one of us, dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign over your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall no longer be your master. Insert your name there. Generally, sin is no longer your master. If you're not under the law anymore, you're under grace. Grant, sin is no longer your master. If you're no longer under the law, you're now under grace. Davide, sin is no longer your master, man. No longer. You're not under the law anymore, you're under grace. Daniel at the back, playing, I don't know what you're doing, you're touching Alex's hands, that's weird. Sin is no longer your master. And I'll get to you a rule, you're even further back. It doesn't matter how far you are, if you're in Christ, sin is no longer your master. You are now under a covenant of grace. See, Lazarus had experienced the greatest miracle. He was dead, but now he is alive. Personalize that. Personalize that. You were dead. You did not know God, but now you're alive in him. And therefore, you're no longer under the law anymore. You are now redeemed by the covenant of grace, by the blood of Christ. Therefore, sin is no longer your master anymore. That means that you are actually allowed to take off dead man's clothes. You don't have to wear that anymore because you're not under the law to wear that anymore. Because by the law, he should have remained in the tomb. They should have never rolled the stone because that was breaking the law. But we're not under the law anymore. So who am I? I love this. Who am I? Who are you to wear death over the top of what he has called alive? To wear addict over the top of whom he has called set free. To wear ashamed over who he has called to be redeemed. To wear grave clothes of I am broken over who God has called whole. To wear unforgiveness on whom God has called forgiven. To wear defeated over who Christ has called victorious. Take off those dead man clothes. Turn to the person next to you and tell them to take it off. Take it off! Hey, sorry. You know the context. You know the context. I'm not talking about your physical clothes. That would be really, if you're here to church the first time, just quickly, just take a couple of steps back. We don't roll like that here. No, David, put that back on. Put that back on. I'm talking about metaphorical grave clothes here, people. We're not. It's not the middle of winter at the moment, guys. What grave clothes are you still wearing? Whose dead man's clothes do you have on? And I believe today God wants some people here to fold up those dead man clothes, to leave them in the tomb like Lazarus did, so that Lazarus could live out the rest of the life that he'd been called to live, to influence and bring glory to God. You know, in the same way, after Lazarus got out of the tomb and put down his clothes and woo! they're married, by the way. Just context again, context. Once he had done that, it actually says later on in the book of John that people were coming to faith because Lazarus was alive eating dinner with Jesus. You know, your life just being outlived, not wearing dead man's clothes anymore, but just being out there should actually have an incredible kingdom impact and see people won for Christ just because all of a sudden people go, wait a second, wasn't that the guy that was addicted to marijuana? Yeah, you grab a seat, man, grab a seat. Thanks for coming up. You stayed up here for a lot longer than I planned for. I should have brought you a seat and just sat you up here. I should have even just laid you down because, you know, Lazarus probably would have been laying down at the tomb. I don't reckon he would have been standing there at the tomb. That'd be slightly awkward. Anyway. But I believe today that God wants some people to fold up those dead man's clothes. Yeah, and step out from the place that you've been living spiritually. In that tomb. In that containment. To step into the fullness of what God has for you. And the Holy Spirit, He is here. He is a spirit of truth, and He wants to lead you into that truth here today. See, Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. I like how it's specified here in the word, three things that were covered, or three things that were bound. And all three of them, when we actually look at the outworking they have in our everyday living, I think they have a spiritual implementation to the way we live our lives as well. So firstly, his hands were bound. Should get Lazarus back up here. But his hands were bound. You know, there's not too much you can do when your hands are bound. Like, I like to play guitar. It's hard to do when I've got my hands bound. Yeah. I like to cook for people that follow me on Instagram. I like to cook. But it's hard to do when your hands are bound. Yeah. Yeah. And I want to encourage you, the things that God has called you to, it says in the book of Ephesians, He has prepared works in advance, good works for us to do. He's actually planned good works for us to do, but we can't actually do them with our hands bound. Yeah. Yeah. We actually need to take that grave cloth off our hands and unbound our hands. So point number one is we need to take off the bound hands.